Hey, it's Outside the Box, trying to make a big impression with a small footprint. Today's topic is, how bad are bananas? Are bananas a big contributor to climate disruption? After all, we get lots of bananas shipped to this country from far away. According to Mike Berners-Lee, who wrote a book called How Bad Are Bananas, they aren't as bad as we think. But there are plenty of other things that are worse. Berners-Lee describes many items we use every day and gives a carbon footprint rating to each. I picked out a bunch of items and activities whose carbon footprints may be counterintuitive, things that we wouldn't assume to be so high, or others that aren't as bad as we'd expect. For example, which has a larger carbon footprint, plastic bags or paper ones? If you thought plastic, you're wrong. Depending on the thickness of each bag and whether or not paper bags come from recycled paper, the carbon footprint of paper is 4 to 8 times higher. So if you're trying to use paper bags instead of plastic to reduce your carbon footprint, forget it. You may, however, decide there are other reasons to use paper rather than plastic, ability to be composted, and using renewable rather than non-renewable resources, for example. Biodegradable plastics are worse than non-biodegradable ones because of much higher use of energy in production. Also, they biodegrade in landfills and produce methane, a byproduct that's bad for the environment. For fruits like apples, bananas, and oranges, local is best, but next best are fresh fruits from somewhere else, if transported by truck, ship, or rail rather than air freight. That's because fruit kept in cold storage uses more energy than food shipped fresh and then immediately consumed. So-called green electricity doesn't reduce carbon footprints. It's just greenwashing because the same amount of electricity is still being used. The solutions? Use less or make your own. A few more counterintuitive examples. Berners-Lee says a dishwasher is more hygienic and slightly more energy efficient than washing dishes by hand because of the amount of fossil fuels used to heat the water. Cell phones and calls made on them generate more CO2 than those from landlines because of the extra technology needed both for the phone and the transmission network. Getting a newer, more fuel-efficient appliance or auto may be helpful, but when the footprint of producing the new item is factored in, the environmental benefits are reduced or even lost entirely. When it comes to houses, remodeling an older but not too drafty one is better than building new. Almost anything made in China has a larger carbon footprint than the same item made somewhere else because of China's reliance on dirty and polluting coal for electricity. Finally, I've noticed a lot of nonprofits, including maybe this community radio station, have T-shirts that are all cotton. But even organic cotton has a larger carbon footprint than polyester. So a T-shirt that's half organic cotton and half polyester would not only last longer, they do, but also have a smaller footprint. Ironically, organic but not free-range eggs have a larger footprint than ones from a crowded but easier to heat factory farm. Of course, looking at the carbon footprint of something is only part of the story. There are good reasons for producing eggs organically, even if the CO2 is greater. But if we're concerned about global climate disruption, it's a major factor. How light or heavy is your carbon footprint? What can you do to reduce it? I'm Larry Danziger, trying to make my footprint more like a toe print.